I find myself from time to time in strange places of the internet. I don't know how I get there, but I wind up there, and sometimes I'm glad I find myself there. Reddit, if you're not familiar, is just a website with different subgroups and message boards and people have conversations on, all kinds of weird stuff on there. But I found myself this week in a subreddit dedicated to spinal cord injuries. Again, your guess is as good as mine, but I was there. And I was reading, and it was kind of interesting. A lot of conversations just about people's experiences with therapy and with frustrations and progress and treatment and so on. So some interesting conversations. But there was one that caught my eye that I really kind of gravitated towards. It was somebody discussing their experience of therapy and how they had some really good days and they had seen some progress and it was encouraging. And then they would just hit a wall and they'd have a bad day and things would, you know, it wouldn't feel the way it was supposed to feel or hurt more than it was supposed to hurt. And it was a discouraging experience. They described it as two steps forward, one step back. And they were just kind of reaching out to other people to see if they had that experience. I think they were kind of just looking for some encouragement. And I was happy because there was a lot of encouragement that came out from people just sharing their experiences and some kind words. And usually the internet is kind of a cesspool, let's be honest. So it was nice to just sort of hear some positivity for once. But that conversation kind of resonated with me. And it got me thinking as I was writing the message this week. I think we can identify with that person. We've all had the two steps forward, one step back experience and frustrations in life. And maybe it wasn't something as severe as a spinal cord injury, but you know, maybe you had therapy for something. Maybe it was a knee replacement or hip replacement or a hand, something. And you were going through surgery and or therapy and you had that experience where like you had your good days and you felt like you were making progress. And then you'd have a bad day and it would kind of set you back and it'd deflate you a little bit. Or maybe it was different. Maybe you're trying to make some sort of positive life change. You know, like who hasn't tried to get back to the gym, right? I need more than two hands to count the number of times I've tried to get back to the gym. Or maybe you started a diet, or maybe you were trying to quit smoking, you know, these good things. And it was going well, and you know, you felt like you're making progress, and then you had a bad day, you slipped up, you slept in, something, and you took a step back, and it was frustrating. Or it could even be something more significant, like we were trying to make like a godly step in our lives. You know, we were trying to just be a better person, or we were trying to be a better parent and just get less frustrated with our kids, or we were trying to be a better spouse and be like more attentive and less selfish in our focus. Or maybe we were just trying to just be a better Christian, and we were trying to bring some aspect of our conduct or our character or relationship into alignment with God's will and his calling. And it started off great, you know, you get those 2, 3, 4 days that are going great, you get a good first week, and then you hit a speed bump, and it sets you back a little bit. It's a frustrating experience, 2 steps forward, 1 step back. And, you know, I'm kind of glad that we have those experiences in life. They're really powerful potentials. We don't feel like it at the time, but when we come to God's Word, He meets us in those moments, those kind of frustrating life experiences. Not just the 2 steps forward, 1 step back experiences, but all of life's frustrating experiences. And he has a message for us in his word. You're not alone in this. You are far from alone in your experiences. In fact, the pages of scripture are filled with people whose stories have frustrations, who have high points, who have low points, who go through the thick of it. And God meets them in those moments. And we read their stories almost with this promise that hey, he can meet us in our moments too, in our stories. And that's why we're starting a new sermon series today after a long 16-month study through Matthew. We're going to do like 4 weeks, which is more reasonable, right? We're going to do 4 weeks in this series. It's called My Story, where we're going to be looking at some of those people from Scripture where God met them in the thick of it. And usually through an encounter with Jesus, he went to work and changed things. And it's encouraging because if he can do it in their story, well, he can do it in our stories too, through that same kind of encounter with Jesus. So that's what we're looking at this morning. We're going to kick things off by looking at probably a familiar character for a lot of us, a guy by the name of Peter. And we're going to be in our Bibles. We're going to kind of be all over the place in the Gospels. But if you're looking for a place to open up and park for a little bit, we're going to wind up in John chapter 21 eventually. So I would encourage you to open up to John chapter 21. follow along there. If you don't have your Bible, or if you just want to follow along with all the other passages we're going to be in, you can always use the screen behind, or we have the FCC Monmouth app that you can download to your mobile device. Tap the Sunday button in the bottom right-hand corner. You'll find the sermon notes tool that has an outline along with all of our passages pulled up, ready for you to follow along with, engage with, take some notes, and get the most out of our time together today. Now, like I said, we're looking at Peter, and specifically, we're looking at these two-step forward, one-step back experiences in life. And I'm really glad that Peter is in Scripture. I get him. I resonate with him because he's kind of the poster child for two steps forward, one step back. Like, he's always saying and doing some great things. Like, he has a ton of these. If Jesus gave out gold stars, Peter would have a whole trapper keeper full of them. Like, he just has so many good moments where you're just like, he gets it. Thank you, Peter. And then usually, those same moments, in the very next breath, he will say something or do something that just causes us to question, do you even know who Jesus is? Like, who is this the same person? And it's kind of my own little personal joke. His name wasn't actually Peter, it was Simon. And Jesus gave him a nickname. He called him Cephas or Petros, depending which language you're reading. Both of them mean rock. And my joke to myself is that Jesus called him Rocky because Peter was a bit of a blockhead sometimes. Like, he was thick, he didn't get it. Like, there was this instance, it's a classic Peter moment. We find it in Matthew chapter 14, where Jesus is kind of tired, and he needs some private time to just sort of pray and recoup. And so he tells his disciples, get in the boat, row across the sea. I'll meet you guys on the other side. And so they listen. They get in the boat. They start rowing. Jesus stays back. He prays. But then a storm kind of takes the sea by surprise, and the disciples get caught up in the storm. They fight it all night long, so it was a heck of a storm. And Jesus decides, now's the time I'm going to go meet him. So he just kind of takes the shortcut across the water. He walks on the water. And the waves are waving, and the mist is misting, and the sun's starting to come up over the horizon. And through the haze, the disciples just see this visage sort of walking towards them. They just assume it's a ghost. They're losing their minds. And Jesus, he speaks, and he assures them, hey, it's just me. Calm down. Everything's fine. And this is where Peter chimes in with one of these classic moments. It's chapter 14, verse 28. He says, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, and he walked on the water and came toward Jesus. This is a big moment. I mean, you got to remember, this is like, if you've ever been on the water in the middle of a storm, it's a scary thing. But Peter, he looks around, and he trusts Jesus enough to get out of the boat. He has the faith that nobody else has. He walks on the water and comes towards Jesus, which is something that nobody else, to my recollection anyway, has ever done. This is a big gold star moment. Way to go, Peter. But then in the very next verse, we keep reading. It says in verse 30, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith. Oh, Peter. Peter, we were so close. You were doing so good. What happened? It's one of those moments. Two steps forward, one step back. Peter gets out of the boat, looks around, gets in his head, lets his fear get the best of him. His faith starts to dwindle. Kind of got in his own way on that one. And that's a theme with Peter, honestly. There's another classic Peter moment. We fast forward just a little bit. Jesus, he's kind of midway through his ministry. He wants to assess where are his disciples at as far as this following me thing goes. And so he asks them kind of a general question. Who does everybody say that I am? And there are a lot of questions or a lot of answers to that. There are a lot of ideas about who Jesus was. But then he gets more specific. For them, he says, who do you say I am? This is what he really wants to know. And again, it's Peter who opens his mouth and just has this phenomenal moment, this confession. We read it in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, it's just a few words. Maybe we kind of overlook that and we go, yeah, duh, of course Jesus was the Son of God. But nobody else had voiced this up to this point. Nobody else had really realized this or recognized him as such. And so what Peter is saying is a huge, huge step of faith. In fact, it was so big, we gave it a title. We call it the Good Confession. And it's actually a confession that we still make publicly to profess our faith before we enter into the waters of baptism. Like 2,000 years later, it still has staying power. This is a big deal. And we might think, Peter, he did it. Gold star, right? Five verses later, Jesus explains to his disciples, hey, just so you know, in the future, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be executed. I will be raised back to life. But just heads up, that's what's on the docket. And Peter pulls Jesus aside. Verse 22 of chapter 16, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus. That's going to go well. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You don't have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. We have gone from blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, to you're the devil. Step back in six verses. Peter got in his way. It's two steps forward, one step back. And this is just a theme with this guy, right? But like I said, I'm glad his story is here. His life is recorded in such embarrassing detail, not so that we can look at him and go, man, I'm glad I'm not that guy. But so that we can look at him and go, I kind of am that guy, really. I mean, just like Peter, we get in our own way sometimes. Where things are going great, we're having that experience, we're making godly change, we're being faithful, we're moving in a God-honoring direction, and then something happens, right? It's usually us. My thing is busyness. I have this mindset that I haven't learned yet. I think that I can do it all. If I just manage my time well and I schedule every minute of my day, I can just squeeze another thing in there, right? And it's a lesson we all know, but it's hard to accept. You can't be in two places at once. And there's this truth, this wisdom that I teach other people and need to learn myself. When you say yes to one thing, you are automatically saying no to something else. Because again, you can't be in two places. And so every time I say yes to a committee or an appointment or a session or something, I'm saying no to something else. And a lot of times it's my family. And so this year, my goal was to say no more, to be less busy. And it started great. People asked, would you want to be on this committee? Would you want to do this thing on the town? Would you want to be with part of this ministry? And I was like, you know what? I appreciate it, but I can't. My plate's full. No. And it got a little easier to say no. I actually started to like saying no. I told my wife no once. It's different rules at home. It didn't work, right? So, yeah, things were going great. And then I got cocky. And I thought, well, you know, I got time to like squeeze like one project in, right? And that little crack let like three or four projects in. And now we're in April, and it is the busiest month our family has had in like 2 years. And I want to know, like, what happened? We were doing so good, and now we're just so busy. And unfortunately, the thing that happened was me. I got in my own way. Two steps forward, one step back. And maybe you've experienced that too. You know, you're making those changes. I want to be this more patient parent, and you're doing great. And then you have a bad day or a stressful day, and you come home, and the kids are doing that thing you've told them not to do 1,000 times. You get frustrated with them. Or you're trying to be that more attentive spouse, that more selfless spouse, but you just get so caught up in your own thing that you completely forget that thing your spouse asks you to do or to take care of because you're just a little self-absorbed at the moment. Or you're trying to honor God. You're trying to bring those parts of your life into alignment with Him and to have that union, that fellowship with Him. And then you have a bad day and you say some stuff that maybe isn't the most Christian, or you make some choices that maybe weren't the most holy reactions that you could have had to a circumstance. And we stumble, we trip, we fall, we pull a Peter, and we get in our own way. Two steps forward, one step back. But again, I'm thankful for Peter, not just that we can like resonate with him and say and commiserate and say, yeah, we're all kind of frustrated. But I'm thankful because there comes a moment in Peter's life where it changes. Like, he doesn't stop messing up, still messes up plenty. But it doesn't hold him back the way that it used to, and it doesn't frustrate him the way that it used to. In fact, he's able to move forward and continue pushing forward in these positive directions. And what happens is an encounter with Jesus. We read about it towards the end of Matthew's gospel. It's another classic Peter moment. You probably know it well. Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. They've just had the Last Supper. And Jesus explains to them, one of you is going to betray me. And then all of you are going to abandon me. And Peter is taken aback by this. And so he speaks up. This is Matthew chapter 26, verse 33. Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, this very night, before the rooster crows, you'll disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. Peter is, if nothing else, zealous. He is, in his mind, ride or die with Jesus. He is all in. And you got to give him credit for that. You know, this would be a gold star moment if not how the story plays out. And I think we're familiar enough that we know that Peter will go on and deny Jesus three times. And not just a little denial. Matthew is pretty clear. If you remember from several weeks ago, we read this. Peter adamantly denies Jesus. He calls down curses. May God strike me dead if I know this man. I don't know him. I don't have any idea. And then that rooster crows. Peter realizes what he's done. And Matthew tells us he went outside and he wept bitterly. Peter's ashamed of himself. Like, he is just kind of the shell of a man after this mess up. This is not just one step back. This is two, well, I guess it would be three steps back if you want to count. This is a big mess up. And even after Jesus is raised back to life, Peter's excited. He runs to the tomb. He's the one that runs into the tomb to see the body not there. But even still, he goes back to his life of fishing, almost as if he doesn't expect Jesus to want anything to do with him. And one day while he's out in his boat, we get in John chapter 21, Peter's fishing, having a bad day, and I can resonate with that too. But he's out fishing, and this guy on the shore says, hey, throw your nets on the other side. And Peter says, whatever, it can't hurt, throws his nets out. Miraculous, just huge, you know, nets bursting, catch a fish. Very reminiscent of the first time Peter met Jesus. And he realizes who that guy on the shore is. And so he gets out of the boat. He didn't even wait for it to go to shore. He swims. I said, you know, run, I think is how I typed this out. You don't run on the lake. But he swam back to shore and he meets Jesus. And that's when he has this encounter. They have some lunch together over some fish on a fire. And then John chapter 21, verse 15, this is how it goes. When they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. And again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And Jesus said this to indicate kind of death, by which Peter would glorify God. Peter would go on to be martyred later on. And then Jesus said to him, follow me. It's a really powerful conversation. Peter, he denies Jesus three times. And Jesus isn't just like suffering memory loss. He's asking Peter very intentionally three times, do you love me? Almost giving Peter that opportunity to sort of like take it back and reaffirm his devotion. And at the end of every one of those questions, Jesus commissions him. I want you to go. I want you to take care of my people. And at the end, he just concludes, I want you to follow me, Peter. And Peter has this encounter with the grace of God in Jesus. And it changes him. I mean, he's still going to mess up, like we said, but Peter is a very different man after this. We can read in the book of Acts as it starts off. Acts takes place. Jesus ascends to heaven. And Peter, very quickly, he emerges as sort of the leader of the disciples. And they're all pretty much on board with it. And Peter is the one in Acts chapter 2, filled with the Holy Spirit, who will go out and will preach on Pentecost. And thousands of people will come to faith in Jesus and the church is born. And Peter and John, they're the ones that will go stand before the Sanhedrin after they've been told to stop preaching, and they will be beat and flogged and then released. And yet Peter will go on rejoicing because he was counted worthy to suffer for the name of the gospel. Peter is a very different man. There's no more wavering. Am I in or am I out? There's no more hesitation with Peter. He is committed. He is all in. It's just a different quality to his life. It just kind of takes us aback. That's not to say he didn't mess up. We'll read about it in the book of Galatians in chapter 2. This is a little bit further in the story. Peter is having lunch at the church of Galatia with the Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians, and things were good. There was a bit of a racial divide. There had been healing, but then Peter kind of, he stumbles. He gets caught up in his old ways, his own mindsets. He starts to show some favoritism to the Jewish believers, and the Apostle Paul actually has to call him out on it publicly. Peter, you're wrong. This is against what the gospel preaches. You need to confess and repent. And he does. So like he has setbacks, but they don't hold him back. They don't cause him to be saddled with shame like his previous mess ups. He just keeps moving forward. And it's all because of that encounter with Jesus. And as people who oftentimes wrestle with those two steps forward, one step back frustrations, there's a lot here for us to sink our teeth into and maybe be encouraged by and walk away with. And we could spend a lot of time just reflecting on that encounter. But there's two things today I want us to really hone in on and walk away with. And the first one is this. I think Peter's story teaches us to actually believe that God's grace is for you. Like, that sounds simple, but sometimes we get in our own way. We know that there is good news in this message. There is this genuine invitation from the God of all creation to come and to be forgiven and to be made new and to be healed and like have fellowship with him again, to be set right with him. It's a genuine invitation. And it's not even a limited invitation. It's for all people. It's not just for people who have enough merit badges. It's not just for people who fit the right categories. It really is. For everybody, regardless of background, regardless of history, regardless of whatever, it is a genuine invitation of love in the name of Jesus that God gives to you. And I think a lot of us have heard that, and a lot of us probably believe that God offers his grace to everybody. And yet many times we struggle to believe that that applies to us. I mean, after all, why would God offer me grace when I can't even offer me grace? I think that's the real hiccup that we run into many times. We have a hard time forgiving ourselves because we are in the middle, the thick of it. We take two steps forward and we are intimately involved in the one step back. And we experience the frustration and we experience the disappointment or the disillusionment. And we kind of beat ourselves up and we find ourselves just like Peter after his betrayal but before his reinstatement, just kind of stuck in this place of shame. There's this species of wasp. It's a crazy thing. This wasp, it's a burrowing wasp. It burrows into the ground, and it has this very specific routine that it follows. It's almost mechanistic. It will go, it will get food, and it will take it back to the burrow, but put it just outside of the tunnel, like just on the precipice. And then it will go head first into the tunnel just to scope things out, make sure there's no intruders or predators or anything. And while it's in there, it'll flip around, come back out, grab the food, and then back into the tunnel with it. And that's its routine every time. And there was a scientist who was just curious, like, I wonder, you know, like we always think of scientists as very sophisticated people, but I imagine this guy was just like, I wonder if I can mess with this wasp. And so that's what he did. He waited till the wasp got the food, brought it back to the tunnel, set it at the precipice, went headfirst into the tunnel, and then while it was down there turning around, he just moved the food 2 inches. And the wasp came out, was shocked. Where'd the food go? So it went and it got the food, and it brought it back to the precipice. And even though it had just checked out its burrow to make sure everything was clear, it went back in headfirst, just to make sure everything really was still clear after those 2 seconds. And while the wasp was in there, scientists moved the food again. And the wasp came out, you know, where's the food? Went and got it, brought it back to the nest. And you would think he's checked it twice. It's been like 5 seconds. He's checked it twice. He has to know. Nope, goes back in head first, just to make sure everything's clear. The scientists did this over 40 times. And then he got bored and just ended the experiment. But 40 times, this wasp never deviated from this cycle, even though it knew, it had to have known, that burrow is empty. After the 15th check, you got to have your suspicions, right? But no, it was stuck in this cycle. And we might hear that and we might go, man, surely it had to have figured it out at some point. Things were going to be fine. But we are a lot like that wasp. And sometimes I question if the angels in heaven watch us and go, man, they have to have figured it out by now. Like, God's grace is for them. Why are they stuck in this same cycle of frustration and shame? Don't they know that Jesus died for them? Don't they know that grace is for them? Don't they know that they can move forward after this? And that's what I mean. Sometimes we get stuck, two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back, and we get stuck in this cycle of shame that we are not made to live in, gang, because God's grace really, truly is for you. And if we can learn to accept that and really believe that, man, is it liberating? In fact, it frees us to kind of grab a hold of this second lesson that I think we can seize from Peter's story. Look at your life in the trajectory. Focus on the trajectory of your life more than the day-to-day stumbles. Let me explain that. I want to show you a picture. This is a graph. This is a daily chart of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. This was this last Tuesday. It's not great. Not good. Red is typically bad. And so you can look at the chart, you see there's some ups, there's some downs, maybe a couple more ups, some steps back, steps forward. There's a lot of back and forth here, but at the end of the day, this is about 3 p.m. or so, so the market's about to close. It's in the red. We are worse off than when we started the day. And sometimes that's how we look at our lives. We have a bad day. And maybe we have some steps forward, we have some steps back, maybe two or three steps back. And then maybe we end the day worse off than where we started. You know, we stumbled, we fell, we sinned, we were frustrated, we said things we wish we wouldn't have said, we said things differently than we wish we could have said. And we get frustrated, two steps forward, one step back. But sometimes it's worse than that. Let's go to that next chart. This is a five-day coverage, a five-day chart of the DJI. Not good at all, right? Over that five-day period, the market really took a hit. And sometimes we have bad weeks. It's not just a day, but like we start the week off one place and throughout the week, it just seems like it's a frustrating battle downhill. And by the time we get done with that bad week, we go, why am I even doing this? I mean, am I really serious about this change? Am I serious about faithfulness? Am I serious about being this better person, parent, spouse, whoever? We get frustrated because we get stuck in kind of this downward roll, I guess. But I want to show you another chart. Let's look at this next one. This is a year-long chart of the DJI. And that bad day that we saw, that's in here. And that bad week that we just looked at, that's in here too. But overall, we're in the green. You got a lot of jumps up, you got some steps back, there's some growth, some retraction, but overall, the trajectory is up and to the right. And that's a good sign. I know sometimes that two steps forward, one step back experience, it's frustrating, but if you do the math on that, guys, that's still one step forward. And one step forward after one step forward after one step forward, that's going to make some serious gains, at least in the market, but in our lives, that's some serious growth. That's maturity. Sometimes we fall into this trap. We think faithfulness is linear. It's just a straight line up and to the right. But honestly, it's a lot of two steps forward, one step back. The faithfulness part is where we keep moving forward, where we keep staying committed to this God-honoring change, to this godly call that he has on our lives, even if it's frustrating at times. And one after one after one, honestly, let's pull up that next chart, produces a lifetime of growth. This is a 100-year history of the Dow. And you can see it's got ups, it's got downs, it's got good seasons, it's got bad seasons. But overall, the trajectory of it, I guess for you guys, would be this way, up and to the right. When we look at our lives, it's tempting to look at the day-to-day frustrations and become discouraged. But when we embrace God's grace really is for us, He really does release us from that shame cycle and encourages us to keep following, to keep moving forward. It frees us to take a step back and look at the big picture, the trajectory. I know it was a bad day. I know it was a bad week. But do I look more like Jesus today than I did a year ago? That can be an encouraging question. I know I've had a frustrating season in my life, but have I made God-honoring changes in my life over the last 5 years? That can be a really encouraging question. Because when the answer is yes, that's the evidence the Holy Spirit is at work in us. God's grace is at work in us. And while we're tempted to beat ourselves up or become frustrated or disillusioned because we focus on the bad days, the overall trajectory of our lives, I should get used to the stage, is up and to the right. That's a God-honoring, faithful life, and that's good news. I mean, we look at Peter, his life in the day-to-day, we kind of zoomed in on some of his bad days, right? Kind of looked like a blockhead. But there's a reason one of the most famous churches on earth today is named after him, St. Peter's Basilica. There's a reason when we make jokes about heaven, it always starts with, you know, a rabbi and the guy was standing at St. Peter's gates or had to talk to St. Peter at the gates. There's a reason he makes his way into our anecdotes. There's a reason why we still remember him and hold him in high regard among the apostles. It's because he lived his life two steps forward, one step back, over and over and over and over. And that over a lifetime produces faithfulness. Peter ended his life, John alluded to it, as a martyr. He was crucified upside down because he declared to the emperor, "I'm not worthy to die in the same manner as my Lord." So they flipped him. And he willingly gave his life as a testimony and as honestly kind of a sacrifice for the gospel. He was committed. That's not somebody that we hold in low esteem. That's somebody that we celebrate and we're encouraged by and we aspire to be like. Even if he did live his life two steps forward, one step back, he embraced grace through that encounter with Jesus. And I would encourage us to have that same mentality. It's not always up. It's not always a linear thing. We got two steps forward, one step back. We got good days. We got bad days. We got good weeks. We got bad weeks. We got good seasons. We got bad seasons. But stay faithful. Believe that God's grace not only is bigger than you, but it is really for you. And look at your life in that big picture, that trajectory. Be encouraged by that. If you've not embraced the grace of Jesus, if you've not had that encounter yet this morning, I'm here to tell you, it's the best encounter you could ever possibly have. And I want to encourage you. There's a connection card on the back of the seat in front of you or at the table in front of you. If you just want to take that and put your name on it, your number, and say, "I want to talk about Jesus," I would love to schedule a time to meet with you, to have that conversation about Jesus, about how this whole forgiveness thing works. What is salvation? How do we follow him? And what does it mean to call him Lord and Savior? You can just fill that out and turn it in at the Connection Center in the desk, and we'll call you today, tomorrow, make that appointment. For the rest of us, let's be encouraged by Peter's story. Not just the ups and the downs, but the trajectory by which it went, and let's emulate that. Let's embrace grace. Let's celebrate God's goodness in our life, and let's keep moving forward. Two steps forward, one step back at a time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today and just your consistency, your love. You are patient. You are slow to anger. You are good. And we trust that you truly are this kind of God. You've shown us time and time again, and most fully in the person of Jesus. And so we just praise you for the grace that is ours because of him. And I pray for all of us in this room today that we would be committed to following after him, even when we stumble, even when we fall. We keep moving forward in God-honoring ways because you are worthy, because you are gracious, because we want to honor you. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.